so. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Okay, so this is exciting. I have Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum sitting down with me for four things.
Yes.
And the stuff that we're going to cover today is music, family, faith, and gratitude.
I love those four things.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's Hillary Scott. I mean, obviously, you know, she's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's a wife. She's a mom. You're a friend.
Thank you.
All the things.
Thank you.
She's adorable and precious and has good style. Like you have your own clothing line.
Yes.
Which I'm super jealous of. I know that we're not supposed to be jealous. I'm supportive at the same time.
Thank you. Thank you.
I wish you the best of luck. But you get to go on the Home Shopping Network.
Yes.
That's like a dream.
It is so fun. I mean, so totally different than a show, you know, interview, anything. I mean, it's live. It's like live. And I just get to talk about all of these amazing pieces that I've designed and why I love them and what my inspiration was. And so it's just a whole nother creative outlet for me that I am loving.
And your line is boho chic.
Which is totally
my jam. Yes.
Thank you.
It's amazing. And yeah, it's one of my, you know how you have those bucket list things? Like either QVC, yes. HSN, Home Shopping Network, same thing. But yeah, just to go on there and, I don't know, sell something. And have people call in.
Yes.
And be like, hey, Cindy and Charlotte, like, how's it going?
Yes.
And then she's like, I want to buy five of those boho sweaters. Yay. I don't know.
And the other thing, too, is you can see, like, the ticker of how many
are selling.
And there's something so, like, just the adrenaline rush of that, you're like, oh, they're really loving the jacket. Oh my gosh, they're really loving that top. And so it gives you immediate feedback, which is really cool.
I love it. It's awesome. Okay, so clothing line, where I envy, well, I also envy that you can sing like an angel. It's beautiful. So there's so many things about you that I covet and I'm not supposed to, but let's get into the music.
First thing, that's right.
I'm curious. I try to think of, like, when I think of Lady Antebellum, I think of when the Bobby Bones Show first moved to Nashville. Y'all had, downtown was fairly new. And obviously, I knew y'all, even we were pop, because before we came country, we were pop in Austin. And we played Need You Now on our Top 40 station.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was, and plus I loved country music. So I was very familiar with what y'all did. But right when we got here, Downtown came out, and we were obsessed with it. And we made our own office video. I'm sure you never saw it. It's on YouTube. I can't remember. Somebody, we had a coffee pot. I think I maybe had the coffee pot with a drumstick.
Yes.
And it was like, we tapped it and we filmed all around the office and we would sing. And we were,
I have to find that.
Sang. Like, I'm pretty sure it was our vocals. I probably need to go back and watch it too, but I was you.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you don't take me downtown.
Yeah,
like,
girl.
You got anywhere better to be. Which I'll play the real one here. This is probably better. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Lucky guy. This is a jam.
Thank you.
So, you know when you have big life moments,
yes.
you forever associate
yes.
it with that. And so for me,
is it
when I hear Downtown, I picture our first few months here
oh
in
my
Nashville.
Gosh,
and like being
so
welcomed into country
yes.
music and us making that fun video and trying to probably be like, hey, probably trying to get y'all's attention. Like, oh, I wonder if they'll ever see it and tweet us back.
Oh,
I don't know if y'all did, but somebody from your camp tweeted us, which
that
good
is
job.
Awesome.
Good job. Shout out to them. So that's one of my favorite Lady songs. So I'm curious, like, what is your favorite song y'all've ever recorded?
Man, that's a really hard question. I mean, I like so many of them for different reasons, but if I had to pick one that I just truly am still so proud of lyrically, melodically, like the connection to the crowd, even to this day when we perform it live, it would be I Run to You, our first number one. Yeah, we wrote that with Tom Douglas, and he is just a prolific songwriter, just amazing poet. I mean, he's just a deep well of wisdom and really amazing lyrics. And so we wrote with him that day, and he had this poem, I run from hate, I run from prejudice, I run from all of these things. And for us as artists, you know, I was 20 when the band started, and we released our first album when I was 21 and, you know, in my early 20s, but really wanting to say some big things. And this was a message song that Charles and Dave and I were really passionate about, So I run to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I guess I know what you're not going to eliminate. So we play this fun game with artists sometimes. Like we did it with Dierks Bentley on the Bobby Bones show recently. And it kind of seems bad because it's like one of your songs, but it's kind of fun to play also. It's like, which one would you eliminate?
Yes.
And I only bring this up now because I Run to You was on a list that we had for Lady Antebellum. So we have Bartender, Need You Now, You Look Good, and I Run to You.
Oh, man.
I know.
That one's all hard. I would pick a different one.
Oh, would you? Okay. Yeah. So which song would you eliminate?
If I could eliminate one, and I think it's just because it was our second single and we've been singing it for 13 years, it would be Looking for a Good Time.
Okay.
I loved the video. I loved shooting the video. It was really fun, but that's just one that out of all of the songs we've ever recorded, it's just not my favorite.
Yeah. Hey, no, we appreciate the honesty. I mean, some artists, sometimes you ask, like, is there ever a song you get tired of playing? And then, you know, you either get, there's two answers. There's one that's like, no, that song made my career. I'm forever grateful for it. I will continue to play it the rest of my life with a smile on my face.
That's how I feel about Need You Now, for sure. Like, it is one of those that I never get tired of. We will never be that band who's like, no, we're not going to play that one.
Well, that's the second option.
You hear stories of like other bands that are like, okay, we won't sing this song unless you pay us this much more because we've played it so many times. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, honor the song and what it brought to your career. And so we really try to do that every night. And it's still the biggest live moment of the show. I mean, it's the biggest crowd moment of the show.
Yeah.
It is. And I love that.
And if it's one of the ones that it's going to connect with the crowd, like Garth Brooks, he's said many times on the show that like, he's going to play the hits. If you come to his concert, he knows what you're there for.
Yes.
And he's there to put on a good show and make you happy. And then Bobby one time went to REM's like private REM thing. And he was so pumped about it because he's a big fan.
Yes.
Pretty sure it was REM. Don't quote me. 99% sure. If it wasn't, sorry, REM, you're not even listening. So, and he got there and he was like front row and it was like super awesome. And they played a whole new album, not even one that you would know. I mean, it was great because it's new stuff, like sure, fine, but it was all brand new. It hadn't even been played, which I get it if you're at some album release thing, sure, but throw a bone in.
You said exactly how I feel. It's like when, I mean, we are entertainers, truly. I mean, yes, we're artists, but when you do a live tour, you know your room. You've got to read the room. We're entertainers. And so we need to do our part in that and make sure that they hear the songs that they want to hear.
Yeah. This is my song that I would want to hear you sing. And I need you and your family for it. And it's Thy Will.
Thank you.
So I'm going to turn this up.
Be done, thy will.
Let it play for a second.
Done, thy will.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, and I know that that's a special song for you. It's something, that's a totally different project than Lady A. Like you've got Lady A, but then you sing with your family too. And so that song also too, for those that don't know, I mean, I know the meaning behind it or where it came from. So it makes it even more special. But I want you to share with people that may not know.
Absolutely.
Kind of where you were at the time that you wrote that song and recorded it, and then what it's done for you. Cause I know that it's done so much for people that have listened to it. Cause music is therapy.
It is.
And so let's talk a little bit about Thy Will.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. Thy Will is a song that, several years ago, my bandmates and I decided we've been a band for 9 years. We're going to take a little bit of just a little sabbatical. And Charles had some songs that he wanted to record. And I've been really, just because I grew up in a musical household, both my parents sing and write songs and have been in touring, you know, they were both in Reba's band. I have always dreamed of doing a record with them. And so through the loss of my grandfather to leukemia, my dad kind of had this idea of making this album that we could share as a family to those who really walked us through that. And when he shared that idea with me, I said, well, if we do this, I want the world to be able to hear it. And I wasn't really sure about if I was going to write for it. You know, singing songs about my faith and belief in God and love for him, I get really emotional. And it's a part of me that's just extremely raw and vulnerable. And so I wasn't sure if I was going to write. And then not knowing that, you know, in the process of making this album, that my husband and I would miscarry our second pregnancy. So my daughter, Isley is six, and she was born in 2013, and then we had a miscarriage in 2015 when we were recording this album. And so I went into the writing room with Bernie Herms and Emily Wise Band in the middle of walking through this miscarriage. And just, I'd, you know, had been praying through the whole journey, just really at such a low point of just, you ask yourself, like, whether it's pregnancy loss or infertility, it's like, what have I done? Is there something I could have done different? Or, you know, you just, you have a tendency to really beat yourself up sometimes about it. And I, as I was praying through it, the Lord just kept giving me that phrase, thy, or that sentence, thy will be done. And so every time I would really try to go to pray, to talk to him about how I was feeling, it would just come over me like, thy will be done. And so I shared that story with them in the writing room that day. And that's where we wrote the song.
Mm. And then, yeah.
And it's really, I mean, it's one of those experiences that I'm just so thankful for the journey, even the parts that have been the most heartbreaking. And for this song, you know, just seeing the beauty come from ashes, you know, I have. And to a point that it's hard to even fathom the number of emails and tweets and DMs and all of the, you know, the ways people have contacted me, sharing stories with me and meet and greets about their own journey and through, whether it be pregnancy loss or just grieving someone that they lost or just going through a hard time. Like, anytime we're ever in that place of like asking questions, like, I'm so confused. I thought I was on the path that you had put me on. And, you know, just asking those questions that I really feel are fair to ask. And those are where, you know, if you really press in, your faith is deepened through them. And so, yeah, just to see and hear the stories has been the most humbling and beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I think you being able to put that into words, into such a beautiful song, and then for people to hear that, it can help them in that process of surrendering.
Oh, I hope so.
Because it is so hard to just let it go and surrender and be like, okay, thy will be done.
Whew.
Whatever. Yes. And so, yeah, in music, and you have that gift. Like, it's, I can't write. I can't sing. I try to, you know, journal. I talk about how journaling is so important, but I can't. I'm intimidated by it because I haven't been able to put my thoughts to paper.
But you are an advocate for so many people.
I'll encourage you to put your thoughts to paper. But I mean, I know everyone has their different strengths and whatever, but I mean, for those of you that can put a song out there like that and be so vulnerable and share your story, and then it be a song of healing to other people and help them get through it. And, you know, music is therapy. It's kind of what we were saying, you know, a second ago, is that it, and therapy is a whole other thing in itself. Like, music can't be your only form, but it can be a part of healing for people. That can be like step one.
Yes.
Maybe even just hearing a song like that.
It opens, it breaks open your heart in a different way, for sure. And yeah, I think therapy could be another, a fifth thing. I know it's four things, but
But therapy. We can tie therapy into music since music is therapy.
It is. Because, I mean, it's important.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think some people, there's a stigma surrounded by it. But I mean, if a song can touch you emotionally and can open you up, then if you want to dig a little deeper, you can dig deeper and see, okay,
what's up under that?
Else is under there?
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of therapy.
Me too.
Like going, yes.
Oh, me too.
And you've done on-site, right?
Yeah,
okay,
I did.
Bobby went and did that too.
It is life-changing. And I did an individual and intensive, kind of four-day thing.
Quickly, for those that are listening, it's like adult therapy camp. Mm-hmm. You go away, depending on how long, but Bobby talked about it on the Bobby Bowen Show a little bit. He went away for, you know, 4 or 5 days, and you, no cell phone, no connection. It's really intense.
Yeah,
and
so you just dig into all the things. Because for me, I feel like I got to my 30s and couldn't outrun, you know, work had kept me busy, getting married, starting a family, traveling around. It's like you can keep yourself busy and distracted for so long until that all becomes like your routine. And then once that hit me when I got into my 30s, it was like, okay, I'm seeing some patterns here. I'm seeing some ways in which that I'm unable to grow through or not able to forgive or whatever the situation may be, I can't outrun my junk anymore, you mm-hmm. know? And that's where OnSite came in and really helped me break through to that next level of really embracing who I am with no shame and with no guilt and just giving me the tools to be able to move forward and live a healthier life and be a healthier version of me and take care of myself better and the people around me and put boundaries down and, you know, all these different things. And I love OnSite. It was life-changing for me. But finding just a therapist that you trust and can talk to, everyone needs it. And don't wait for a crisis to do it.
Oh,
if y'all hear anything I say today, don't wait for a crisis to go, because if you go and get prepared and get educated and you get to know yourself better, you'll handle a crisis better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it can help you navigate through that trauma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's not always accessible to everybody, but I wonder, because you may not always be able to go to a therapist or whatever, but maybe just having like friends that you can really confide in or books that you can get your hands on and just be prepared.
Absolutely.
But I feel like for some people, a lot of times it starts with the music.
It does.
I feel like that can tug. It's so crazy how powerful instruments and voices are.
Yes.
I mean, storytelling.
Some of the moments, most of the moments where I feel the closest to God, it's with music. Mm-hmm. Like it's listening to music, worship music sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I'll think after my mom died, I thought, I'm fine. I can go to church. I'm fine. I get to church. They play, you know, some song that makes me think, sitting down bawling, crying, because it just touches you in such a way where you're like, okay, maybe I'm not ready for praise and worship time.
Oh.
But then there's a time for it, but it's crazy how it can touch you. Do you have places where you go and do you have cry places? In my house, my closet. Oh, your car.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might pass me on the road someday and I'm just like tears streaming down my face. I feel like that's where I have my quiet time. Like mm-hmm. when I'm driving, I'll listen to music or listen to a podcast or just kind of be in the quiet. And that's where I think my focus is so on something, you know, driving down the road, getting somewhere safely, but my mind can kind of really think deeper into things. And because at home right now, I mean, you know, having two children at home, like we have three very, it's a lively, incredible home, but it's not very quiet.
Yeah.
And so having the car to be a place of quiet is nice.
Yeah. I love that. Car, mine's the closet. Everybody just find your space, especially if you have a hectic family, which family is what we're going to get into next.
Perfect.
Second thing. Okay, so family-wise, it's almost like you have two families. You have, your Lady A family.
Yes.
And then you've got like your family. So there's Dave and Charles, and then there's, you know, your husband and your three kids.
Yes.
And so how do you find that balance?
That's a great question. You know, I think you're always searching for the balance. And I think when you have children and every few months they're growing and changing and their needs are different, you kind of have to just, it's an ever evolving thing. But I will say, I mean, full transparency, I feel like I'm a perforated page. Like if you look at me as in my, I'm a perforated page being pulled by both arms
mm-hmm.
from a career and a family. Career's pulling the left arm, family's pulling the right arm. And so I've learned with my personality, like to not feel like both arms are, I'm not, that I'm about to not get split in half. I have to find things that and tools that help me ground and help me prioritize and not feel spread too thin. And so that's been what this last season has been for me, like with bringing two new babies into the house and at once, and they're the same age, and you know, twins is just crazy and it's awesome. And then at the same time, like shortly after having twins, we started working on new music and, you know, signed with a new record label and went on tour and went to Vegas for the residency. So, I mean, there's just been a lot going on at once over this past year. And so figuring out that no is an okay word to say sometimes, probably more times than we think.
Are you typically a yes person?
Oh, I'm very much like, yes. Like if you're okay with me, I'm okay.
Yeah. What are you on the Enneagram?
I'm a two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So very much like a true two. I have a hard three wing achiever, like love to, you know, love my career and love getting to do that and being ambitious that way. But yeah, to my core, I'm a two.
So some of the tools to help keep you grounded or balanced. Yes. So it would be knowing that it's okay to say no.
Yes.
What are some other things you do to stay grounded?
And knowing that it's okay to just say what I need sometimes. Most times, you know, that the best gift I can give others is knowing what I need.
And that's whether it's to your husband,
anybody,
or to Dave and Charles.
Yeah. And then just being able to be fully present when I am in each place. You know, my family hasn't toured with us nearly as much as I thought they would this past year, because I realized, like, for me to be able to be fully present and do my job to the best of my ability, and above that, what was best for my girls and my husband was for them to be in a home routine. So being the parent that leaves, you know, a few days a week has been an interesting transition. And you know, my husband and I were in the band together for 7 years. He was our drummer. And so we went from being together every single day in our work environment to now, you know, I'm hopping in and out of town and he's full-time dad at home. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And he is incredible at it. I mean,
now, is that something, and I'm speaking total like stereotypes here. This is just know, people, if you're listening, don't email me mad. It's not me speaking. This is me speaking for like the stereotype. Because for my husband, for him to, I didn't know if this was something that has it been a struggle, or was your husband, was it kind of a no brainer? Like, no problem, I'm going to stay home. Or was it like, well, okay, I guess this makes sense. Because I mean, you're an amazing singer and you're in this band and you've got to go on tour. And it's like, that's a life you can't really just, you know, say, okay, pause. No, well, thank you too. So, you know, because I'm trying to picture, there may be some girls listening, there are women listening that are in a similar situation and their husbands are like, no, like I work, I'm the man. Like I'm the bread and the butter. Like it's, and it's such a society thing that luckily is starting to get broken. Because I feel like even for you as a career woman and a mom, like there's probably a lot of times you get the question of, you know, and I was asking, okay, how do you balance your two families? Like, 'cause you've got Dave and Charles and then your family. So it's like, you know, when you're juggling that, but I feel like me as a career mom, sometimes it's like, well, how do you do it all? But I mean, nobody's asking my husband how he does it all.
Right.
Nobody.
That's a very good point.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's with the kids just as much as I am, and we split and he's working and I'm working and we have a nanny and she's like our third arm.
Oh my gosh.
I struggled to even say it then. Because I never thought I would have a nanny, because that's just, I always thought when I grew up, because of how I grew up, that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
But I didn't know I was going to have the career that I have that would enable me to kind of have my hand in a lot of different things.
And be the best you for everybody.
Yeah.
By doing that and making that decision. I think, you know, for my husband, to kind of answer your question, I feel like every relationship is its own beast, you know?
For sure.
And I think you, as long as you're being honest with yourself and each other, like you'll find your rhythm and what works for your family. But for us, before I met my husband, when he was a little boy, he remembers at 8 years old thinking about how excited he was to be a dad.
Oh, wow.
And then over the course of his early, you know, teens into college, like he has memories of thinking like, if my family ever looked like, you know, in such a way that I would need to stay home and raise our kids, like I would be okay with that. So I firmly believe by God's grace, he kind of started working on his heart, and totally unbeknownst to him or me that we would be married, you know, and be in the situation that we're in. And so he, you know, he's a unique, incredible kind of person to have noticed and recognized that about himself from a very, very early age. And I thank the Lord every single day that he's that way, because there are a lot of men who are like, no way, I love my work. I love what I'm doing. I love providing in this way for our family. But can I tell you, like, the ways in which that my husband is providing
for us on a
daily basis
are
this, like, I kind of envision them like seeds being planted that we won't really see them grow fully until our girls are older. Like, I had this epiphany a couple weeks ago, like, my girls are getting their dad every day for the most formative years of their life. like 0 to 5. My oldest is now 6. And I just can't imagine how strong they're going to be as women when they get older, how it's going to like direct their path wherever they go, wherever life takes them. And I realize that there will be another season of their life where they're going to like, it'll be like, mom, how do I get through, you know, fill in the blank. And I am very present and I'm home several days a week, but they're getting their daddy every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sweet. And you have two ways of looking at it. Either you get a total like washed over with mom guilt, or you can look at it and go, there's a reason why this is the situation. And there's a really beautiful reason why. And I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I'm choosing to look at it, because goodness, I mean, he, first of all, is way more patient than I am on a daily basis and just is the best. And so they're really, really so blessed to have him as a daddy.
Shout out Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah, because you're probably totally listening.
Yes.
While you're hanging out. I think I'm going to make my husband listen to this. Not because he needs to do that. We both have it figured out. We both are having our careers. But it's still both of us. We grew up in that mentality. I did too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that stuff where you get to hear how other people are starting to do it different.
Yeah.
And then also hear their perspective of, like you were saying, there's two ways you can look at it. And then the blessing that it could be.
Oh my gosh. And I feel the same way about other, because we have a lot of help. You know, we have a nanny for, and I don't like that word either, by the way.
I know, I always it's so call hard.
There is like my little girl's best friends. And we have someone who tours with us when we travel. And then we have, for my twins, they do kind of a little school in our basement of like 5 days a week. And so we have someone every day for their little school day. And her name is Courtney and she's amazing. And so we have a ton of help and support. And I am so thankful for that. And I did. So this is only the third podcast I've ever done.
Oh.
And the two other ones were with Annie Downs and Jen Hatmaker.
Oh,
and when I spoke with Jen, she told me something that was so incredible. And it was, you know, we're always going to be the moon to our kids as moms. Like, and it's okay for them to have stars.
Yes.
Like other people in
their
life.
Instead of trying to be the moon and the stars.
Yes, you can't be both.
Right.
You have to pick. And we're always, but we don't really get to pick because we're moms. So we're going to be the moon, you know? And so to get okay with that, and it took me a little bit, but now my girls are just these beautiful kind of like beings that have all of the influence of like these amazing hearts that have poured into them since they were born. And I love that. My daughter Isley wouldn't be who she is without the women who have, you know, hugged her through and walked with us through our travels and our crazy life.
All their little stars.
Yeah.
I love that.
Here we go. Third thing.
Okay, so we kind of have a Haiti connection through Mike and Missy Wilson.
Yes.
So shout out to My Life Speaks in Nepli, Haiti. And so Mike was your youth pastor?
Yes. So he used to be the youth pastor at Two Rivers Baptist Church over kind of near Opryland, because I grew up here in Nashville.
Yeah.
And I've known him since I was 14 years old. One of my best friends in high school went to that church. And it was actually really close to the church that I grew up in, but I would always go to youth events there. And Mike and Missy were there. It was right when like their oldest son was just a toddler. And we've known each other since then. And so then over the course of the last several years, we've just gotten closer and closer. He married my husband and I. I went to Haiti with Missy for the first time in March of 2011 and have never been the same since.
Oh, so that was like a year after the earthquake.
Yes. Yeah. It was very, it was an interesting first trip because it was a trip that I got to see several different parts of Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, don't realize like there's beautiful mountains and it's cool up at the top. And then there's desert. And then there's all of these extreme.
There's beautiful beaches.
Oh, some of the most beautiful beaches I've ever seen are there. Like it's such a country of extremes and extreme beauty and extreme poverty.
There's some extreme wealth.
Yes.
It took me probably, I'd been going for 5 years and it wasn't until my third year going, I realized there is a little bit of a first world Haiti.
Yes, there is.
There's up at the top.
Yes.
You go, the higher up the mountain you go, you realize that. And I'm like, oh my goodness. It's just, but you're right. It's so extreme.
It's so extreme.
It's like, you know, we live in a place where, yes, we have extreme poverty and we have an extreme wealth. But we also have all the things in between.
Yes.
And there it's like, you assume it's all just poverty, but no, there is people that are highly educated, speak yes. five languages, make tons of money, but they're just completely separate from what's going on down yes. there. But okay, so back to your yeah. Haiti experience.
And it just changed my life. I feel like I came back from that trip and I've been like, gosh, almost 10 times now since then. I love it there. It is one of the most beautiful, the village of Nepali, I love them like they're my family, you mm-hmm. know, and we, when they hurt, I hurt, even though I can't be there as much as I would love to be. And it's just a really, the organization itself is, it's to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. And that's what My Life Speaks is about. It's about giving those a voice who don't have a voice mm-hmm. and with a very emphasis on special needs. But I think everybody in that country, there's a special need, mm-hmm. you know, like truly. And I think that the more that we can do for them and shine light on and raise awareness for this beautiful nation, the better off.
It seems like God's put it on your heart. It's like there's certain people where it's like you go to Haiti and you come back and you're like, okay, Haiti's forever a part of my heart.
Yes.
And it's like
forever.
I don't know that happens to everybody that goes, but it's like if you go and it happens to you, you know.
Yes.
And I feel absolutely. Like I know exactly what you're saying because that's what happened to me. Yeah. And it was like God just kind of like, I wasn't going to be able to forget
no way
this place or these people. And, you know, now I have two kids from there and that's forever their home. Oh. I mean, that's where their moms are.
Yes.
And yeah. And so that's something that will always be a part of my heart. And I love that.
We have to go together sometime.
I know we should get with Mike like, and be like, let's go.
Let's do this. I mean, yeah.
There are four things, line or anything, espoir, which means hope in Haitian Creole. Last Christmas we supported, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know when we'll do it, but each year we do different items that support various causes. And last Christmas it was My Life Speaks.
Oh my gosh,
and so everyone
right.
was doing their Christmas shopping and supporting them. And it was just so cool. Oh. Like after Christmas kind of wrapped, like the day after Christmas, we were able to like send them a huge check. And it just was like, cause you know, when you've gone, you know,
difference.
The difference it's going to make, you
yes.
know, the impact that they're making
oh.
and the, like how, again, even the emphasis, yes, on special needs, but they create little, and Mike Wilson has come on the podcast before too. So if you haven't heard that episode,
oh, go listen.
But you know, they create, I love how God has moved through them because mm-hmm. they don't want it to be like an orphanage. They
no.
want it to be like a home. So
yes.
there's house moms.
How, yes. So we have, they're families. They're
yeah.
Haitian families. It's a couple. Sometimes they have their own biological children as well. We have the first house family could not have their own children and they brought in this beautiful, like, it's just this beautiful integrated family. Some of the children have special needs, some of them don't. And it's all just really wanting to cultivate like that we, it's a bigger kind of how God sees us as we're adopted into his kingdom, into his love. Like that's how we should view everybody. And so that's such a perfect picture of that because he accepts and loves us all. And that's what we tried to do there. And it's just awesome to watch these siblings and watch these families just thrive and enjoy each other, but fight like a family and, you know, just all of it, everything that a family is. And the other things that I'm so proud of that My Life Speaks are a part of is we've got a medical clinic now
mm-hmm.
that has been running for several years that, I mean, they see thousands of people around in the surrounding villages too. And so, we have a pregnant moms program, like a prenatal program, which is amazing to see how many more healthy babies are being born in our village and surrounding areas.
Yeah, mothers, I mean, it's hard to think of it here because we have such access to medical care and
yeah.
giving birth every day seems like no big deal, but there's a high mortality rate.
Yes, absolutely. And just watching them you know, feel good through their pregnancy. I went to Haiti when I was 5 months pregnant with Isley.
Oh, wow.
And it was awesome. I got to sit in with those women in a meeting about just taking care of themselves. And we were like bumping bumps, you know, just like having, and it's just, you can feel like you're so far away from where you came from and be like, we are all the same. Like, look at us. We're all like, my ankles are swollen. Your ankles are swollen. Like,
I feel like just when I land in Haiti, my ankles get swollen. Yes, pregnant or not. There's so something about the humidity.
It's
and
so
like,
true.
Like, what just happened to me?
Yes.
But I can see if when you're pregnant, that's the total.
Just feeling like we're all the same, like no matter what, you know? And I have loved more than anything watching this village just thrive. And My Life Speaks does an amazing job of having head over feet more Haitian employees than Americans who are doing incredible work there, taking care of each other and all of, you know, the community center and all of the spaces that My Life Speaks holds there in Nepali. And yeah, it's amazing to see the ripple effect. And I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that while we're talking about Haiti right now, but you can apply this probably in anywhere in your life that we're all the same.
Yes. Yes.
And that, and you don't have to travel to Haiti to be used or to feel like you're loving your neighbor. Like
right.
You can so do it. That's something we try to emphasize here too, is it's, you can do it in your own community.
Yes.
On your street.
Yes. Your neighbor, literally your next door neighbor.
Right.
I mean, it can be the smallest thing that can go so far. And I just think if we all, you know, and I get in seasons where I just feel like I'm so tunnel vision and I forget to look around me. But if we could find just a moment every day to look around and realize, okay, everything I'm dealing with, like other people are carrying just as many burdens around as I am. I can't see them. I know what mine are, but I don't know what yours are. I don't know, you know, and if we could just give ourselves and each other just a little more grace.
Grace. I was like, that's the grace. That's where that comes in. Because even sometimes when, you know, when I react a certain way to my kids, if I'm snappy or whatever, for kind of no reason, sometimes it's deserved. Sometimes that's an example where I know immediately I have to check myself and check my heart and be like, okay, what, something's going on with, like, you can be self-aware, but also sometimes I have to give myself grace. Because like, okay, I'm doing a lot right now. So this doesn't justify how I just acted, but then it helps me put myself in check. But then it makes me also think of maybe when sometimes at the store, someone's snippy to me, like, oh, it probably isn't really me.
Yes.
Like they've got a lot going on. So I need to like.
Yeah, just
have grace, or then what's something I can do to make their day better or something.
Absolutely.
And then similar to there, when you're just talking about in Haiti, like the ripple effect.
Yes.
Like it can happen here too.
Everywhere. Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's
awesome. Four things with Amy Brown. Okay, so let's get into one of our favorite things here to talk about, which is gratitude.
Yes.
Because, you know, gratitude, there's just so much in it. I mean, even right now, I feel like it's a thing because a lot of people are realizing, okay, that's what's going to bring you happiness. And we have a lot of experts even telling us that, like Brené Brown.
Oh, I was about to
shout
say,
out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Shout out to her.
Yes. Isn't she the best?
The best. Yeah.
So yeah. Something that we have guests do at times is share four things that they're thankful for, big or small. And it helps us just kind of get a sneak peek into your life and what you're thankful for, and then hopefully encourage people to maybe practice some gratitude today.
Absolutely.
When they listen.
Okay. My four things are, I am so unbelievably thankful for just my faith, my relationship with God, and knowing that how he sees me and also, you know, how he sees all of us. Getting back to the grace piece. It's like the grace that's extended from him that we should extend to ourselves and others. So that would be number one. I am so grateful for my husband, especially in this season that we're in right now of just endless patience and understanding and blood, sweat, and tears. I mean, he is amazing. I am very, very thankful for my family, my mom, my dad, my little sister. And when I say husband, I mean my family with him too, my daughters, Isley, Emery, and Betsy. And then my immediate family, my mom, my dad, my baby sister Riley. And then lastly would be just my Lady A family, like getting to walk this career with people that I love and respect, and who just really help spur me on to be a better version of myself, and what Lady A has, the platform that it's given us. It's hard to pick four, mm-hmm. but those would be my four.
I know.
And they're all like, very, like, and if you can't tell this about me, like, my relationships are hands down the most important thing to me. I appreciate so much the comforts of this life and that we are feel so blessed to have, but it is so much more about the people you get to live life with.
Mm, yeah, for sure. How long have you been with Charles and Dave?
13 years.
Okay, so 13. That's how long I've been with Bobby.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like my
work husband.
My kinda, work. Yeah, yeah. He, definitely. Yes.
Or so, work brother. You never. Yeah.
I know, but the right term. I mean, you've got two work husbands.
Yes.
You've got Charles and Dave. So yeah, and then you've been married for how long?
It'll be 8 years in January.
Yeah. So see, similar to me too.
Yeah.
One relationship started before the other, and then it's like.
Do you feel like you learned a lot about marriage through working with a man so consistent, like every single day?
Yeah.
Communication.
I think I'm still learning. And it's, yes. I was about to say, it's communication. Because,
mm-hmm.
well, for Bobby, communication is very, he feels like he communicates just fine, but listen, he's not listening. I would argue that.
Yeah.
And so for me, I don't feel like he communicates that great at times, but that also could be on me, on how I'm, because I'm always trying to my brain just always goes to if you call somebody and they don't answer, it's like, what did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong? The stories we make up in our head.
Brene
yes.
Brown.
Yes.
That, yes. It's a lie that I'm telling myself in my head. And yes, the narrative is all wrong. And then I create this whole thing of, oh, it must have been when I did this and I can't believe I did that, which spirals into. So it's I kind of do that. So really that's communication issue on my end. But I feel like baby Bobby's form of communication is just a little bit more blunt and kind of there and short.
Yeah.
Short.
To the point.
So, but you still have to work on that relationship. Like, that's not my love language, is words of affirmation.
Yes.
Which he does not pass out like candy.
Right.
Which I'm not asking. It means a lot more when you say it every few years.
For sure.
Fun. Right.
That feels so, it's so interesting because that
not,
is
not love you, not says I love you, but says like something like a compliment, like, yes, hey, like, great,
you're doing a great job.
Today. Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which really, honestly, I would probably perform better if you did tell me that every day. Because it's like, yes. For me, that's my love language.
Yes.
So what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that it's interesting because Charles and Dave are both very different personalities. Like Charles is very, you know, like just not as talk, like I'm not going to have as many heart to hearts with Charles as I will with Dave. Like it's just because their personalities are different. And so it's been an interesting to learn how to navigate through, because, you know, I'm friends with both of them. It's not like I'm just friends with the two of them at once. Like I'm friends with them individually. And then we are obviously a band of three, but it's just been neat to navigate that together, of just the ways in which we connect and sometimes, you know, it does feel like it's fewer words from Charles and lengthier words from Dave, but it all kind of rounds out, I feel like.
Yeah. But with both of them, you got two guys to prepare you for your man.
Yes.
Your main man.
They taught me a lot. They did.
And how to communicate. Cause yeah. I mean, my husband's not a man of many, many words. Like he's kind of quiet and then, yeah. Yes. So, but it just teaches you the different types of people that are close to you in your life and how you have to navigate each one differently.
Yeah. And what be intentional about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is your love language? Do you know?
I'm words of affirmation and I am physical touch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a hand on my hand or like, yeah, like nothing better than Chris, like putting his arm around me when, you know, on the couch or walking through the mall or yeah, very much. That, but like, words for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's crazy how like one little thing can just like mean, but to somebody else, it might not do anything.
Yeah.
Cause like, that's not
I
their
love
thing.
Giving gifts.
Oh yeah. What's yours that you do?
So I love giving gifts. Like there's nothing that makes me happier than giving someone a gift that I can tell that they really love, or just giving of my time in a way that they really need. Like when a friend calls me when they have a newborn baby to come help, like, oh my gosh, I will like stop everything and go and try to do all the things. Like that's just very much my personality. So that's kind of more acts of service too, I guess. But I love giving gifts, not receiving them. And then words of affirmation, I need to work on for sure. I try, but
for those in your life that need it.
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten better at it since doing a lot of inner work just because I know I need them. Mm-hmm. It's obviously the most important thing I need from a love language perspective. So trying to do better of really seeing others, making them feel known and acknowledging what they're doing.
Yeah. Are Charles and Dave, do you know there what you have to offer
so
them?
So definitely both words of affirmation.
Like Charles, that was a really good note.
Yeah.
You hit there.
Like just an encouragement, I think, you know, that I think.
Charles, you're so tall today.
Did you grow an inch? No. No. And yeah, but definitely both words of affirmation.
Yeah. So what is next for y'all, for Lady A?
So the record comes out in November, CMAs, and then 2 days later, Ocean comes out. So we have a lot of fun, exciting things planned around the release of that, different release events and a couple trips here and there. And then we are gearing up for a tour next year. So we'll be announcing that soon. And other than that, it's like gearing up for the holidays. I mean, it's fall now. I can't believe it. I'm so thankful for all things cooler weather and pumpkin.
Okay. Do you know, so we did a Four Things fall sweatshirt that was like a limited thing, and we put pumpkin spice as one of the four things because
Yes.
Like it was like, you know, fall leaves, cozy or sweaters because they're sweater time, pumpkin spice and whatever.
Yes.
People, we got so many, because it was, that was the four things. You couldn't, sometimes you can customize, but these you could not. And we got so many emails from people that didn't like pumpkin spice. I was like, is this real? I didn't know that was a thing.
You can put it on anything almost.
You're right. I know. It's that time of year. I can't. This morning, I mean, we're in Nashville and a lot of you may not be, but it was cool outside this morning and I was like, bring it.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Amazing. Okay. Well, then we'll look forward to November, the album.
Yes.
And 2020 the tour.
2020 touring. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then between that, it'll be Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we're off.
Well, I've always adored Hillary from Lady Antebellum, but now I feel like I love her even more. And that's the thing. Like, she's always come on the Bobby Bones Show, but with Charles and Dave by her side. So to sit down with just Hillary Scott and dig a little deeper with her, like, that was super cool. And I just feel like she's totally awesome. Like, love her. So if y'all liked it too, then something cool you can do is take a screenshot and put it on Instagram or Twitter and tag us and let us know that you liked it. And let others know that you liked it and maybe it's something that they should listen to. I'm at Radio Amy. Hillary is Hillary Scott LA. And yeah, especially let Hillary know if you enjoyed it because, you know, she's our guest and we want to make our guests, you know, let them know that they're appreciated for coming on and taking time out of their day to open up and share with us. So Hillary, you're amazing. And yeah, hopefully we can take that trip to Haiti one day. Before I get into the email shout out, I want to talk about the customized Four Things pouches. Now, that's something that we've always done customized totes, but our cute little pouches with the zipper, that's something we were getting requests left and right. Please, can we customize these? So we made a bunch of blanks. We didn't make that many. They're still limited at this point, and there's not that many left. So that's why I'm giving you a heads up. If you didn't know that we put them out last week, we did. And it's a lot of fun to see what people are putting on their as their little four things for the cute little pouch. And someone is awesome, and they put all the small things as their four things, which is so clever and so cute. And of course, a lot of people are thinking, well, was that in reference to the song too? Like all the small things. And then we're also trying to come up with a cute little girl power one. I mean, that's not a stock one, but it's so cute and we love it so much that whoever came up with it, we're thinking about making it a stock one. So that's available. There's also one that we're thinking of as like a girl power one, like be fierce, dream big, stay strong, girl power. And, you know, other people are putting like on theirs, like keys, phone, mascara, chapstick. So it's almost like a little checklist. Like, do you have all your stuff in your cute little zip pouch before you walk out the door? Another one says puffs, bars, fruit stripes, and crackers. So that could maybe be a little bag for a kid to have their little snacks in. And then there's another one that says sanitizer, sunscreen, butt cream, and stinky bags. So I'm assuming that might be for like a baby, possibly. Another cute one is cleanser, moisturizer, sunscreen, and lip balm. And so anyway, you get to put your favorite four things on it. So I'm just reading these out so y'all get an idea. And for me, I'm such a visual person. So if you're listening to this and you don't know what our little four things products are, then go to radioemmy.com. You'll see a link there to Shop Espoir, which this is a line that we created to send support to Haiti, and we're currently supporting Project MetaShare in Central Plateau and their education program. And Haiti has just got some craziness going on right now. I mean, you heard Hillary talking about her heart for Haiti, and we just, there's so many great organizations down there right now, and a lot of them are suffering because of the civil unrest, and prices are skyrocketing with things, and there's fuel shortages and people rioting. And it's just crazy. Like, think about your day. Like, you, the stuff that they're having to worry about there, like, just doesn't even cross our minds here in America when we're waking up, going to work. I mean, everybody has stuff going on in their life. I'm not saying that maybe some of you listening right now are in a really rocky place, but just for me, I know sometimes I'm complaining about something silly, and then I think about my friends down in Haiti, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't have life so bad right now. I mean, I was frustrated because, you know, the highway this last weekend was closed to my dad's place, and it took me 40 minutes to get there instead of 17. And then I was like, oh, well, some of my friends in Haiti can't even drive on the roads right now for fear that they might, you know, get kidnapped or something. So yeah, roadblocks there are different than roadblocks here. So that's my point. On my customized four things pouch, I have Tupac, Netflix, Pimpin' Joy, and matcha. So yeah, you really can put whatever you want. I made one for Stashira, and it has her things, like she loves Netflix and popcorn and bracelets and reading. So I put that on her little bag, and you really can just put whatever you want. RadioAmy.com again, or Shop Espoir on Instagram, the Shop Forward. There's so many different ways to like search the hashtag four things, which some stuff for this podcast might come up, or stuff for our products. And then you can like get ideas from people, because we know it's hard to think of things. So that's why I kind of spent a minute talking about these. And then again, if you're visual like me, you definitely want to see it. And they make great gifts. And I don't know, once we run out of these, like we sold out of our fall sweatshirts, so those are done. And like, once we sell out of these, I don't know that we'll do customized pouches through like Christmas time. So if you've got gifts, maybe try to get ahead and knock those out now, because I don't think that we have the capacity to really do customized zip pouches and customized tote, which are so popular as Christmas gifts. And people even use them for stockings. Like they hang them from the the fireplace. And it's so cute. Like moms that have done that every Christmas were like, oh my gosh, such a good idea. So that's another thing. Like speaking of that, it's basically October. So I know I am not someone that gets ahead. So if you're like me and you procrastinate, let's not do that this year. Let's get Christmas shopping done. And I feel like through this podcast and through Espoir and Four Things and the Shop Forward, like we probably could get a lot of your Christmas shopping done and you can feel good about it because it all gives back to something. But, and I mean, the gift receiver will appreciate that side of the gift as well, that you gave them something thoughtful. And if it's a Four Things tote, that's also customized just for them. And that also is giving back to Haiti. So it's a win-win gift. And I know it's a struggle sometimes thinking of someone's favorite four things or narrowing it down. But if you just sit down one day and like set a timer and be like, you know what, this is what I'm dedicating this time to. I'm going to knock this out. And then I'm going to go online. I'm going to order them. And then boom, Christmas shopping done, at least for some of the women in your life, like mothers, daughters, girlfriends, whatever group of friends you have, like customized totes, easy. And then you're not going to be the one running around the last week of Christmas trying to find a gift. And here's the thing. We do get emails that last week before Christmas of people saying, oh my gosh, I need to order a tote. And it breaks our heart. Like we hate saying, oh no, it's too late. Like we can't make it because they're custom. Got to go to the printer. Got to have a printer. Got to shipped out. And then Christmas time shipping. So all this to say, let's just get ahead. Let's do it together. I'm speaking to myself too, because I give totes as gifts as well. And I need to sit down and think of people in my life that I want to make totes for. Okay, so let me get to the email shout out now. And this comes from Nicole. Hey, Amy, I absolutely love your podcast, and you really hit home when you talked about stress and the glass. I want to share this analogy that I love, and I hope that you get something out of it like I did. Okay, so this is me talking now, not Nicole, but on last week's episode, I had something from the thought catalog about stress and holding on to it and how if you carry it around, eventually it's just going to explode and not be great. So she's sharing something that's similar that's going to help us. And I really liked it. So here we go. This is Nicole talking again. You are holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill the coffee? Well, because someone bumped into me. Wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in the cup, you would have spilled the tea. Whatever is inside the cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside you will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what's in my cup? When life gets tough, what spills over? Joy, gratefulness, peace, and humility? Or is it anger, bitterness, harsh words, and reactions? Life provides the cup. You choose how to fill it. Today, let's work towards filling our cups with gratitude, forgiveness, joy, words of affirmation, and kindness, gentleness, and love for others. Today, my cup is full of gratitude. And boom, that's what Nicole had to share. And I love that. I love that analogy too. So I know that this week I've been a little bit stressed out. So if you bumped into me, I don't know. My reaction. Also, I got my PMS warning on my Clue app. It like sends me a message on my phone that like, you know, dark times are upon us. Warning. So I feel like if you bumped into me this week, you might get a little bit of like, irritability. Like I'd be irritable and angry and quick and snap. But so this is a good reminder for me too, to make sure that if you were to bump into me, you wouldn't get any of that. You would get peace, calm, humility, gratefulness, joy. So thank you, Nicole, for this email. And I appreciate anybody that emails. You can send notes to 4thingswithamybrown@gmail.com. And next week, we will see y'all with Danielle Walker. She is a cookbook author and much more, many more things. She does a lot. She's a mom and entrepreneur, has lots of things spinning, a wife, and similar to Hillary, has a lot to share. And she actually is one of Hillary's really great friends, and she was staying with Hillary. So she came and recorded it with me after Hillary left. So I've already got that done, and I can guarantee you it's good. And she, Against All Grains is how you may know her, because she had to give up grains because of an autoimmune disease that she has. So she's going to talk a little bit about that. So we'll talk food, faith, family, and then of course, gratitude. Be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. EK, be kind, choose joy, laugh a lot. Cast up, roll things, little food for your soul, things. Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with 4 things. With Amy Brown.